everyone. Hey again. It's another off week, which means another episode pulled from the Ko-Fi archives. This is our second of three Building Upon episodes, which, if you didn't hear last week, was part of our original plan for the podcast. In this episode, Dorman and I discuss the recently then-released first season of Behind the Attraction. Since then, at least as of February 2024, season two has come out with a truly painful episode about Epcot, among others, and God, I don't wish season three on my worst enemy. But let's roll back again to 2021 and hear our thoughts back then. To our second mini-sode, Dreamers of All Ages. As we mentioned before, these episodes will be debuting every other week, usually with feedback, comments, and corrections. However, we're still recording this before the podcast debuts. You'll have listened to the first few episodes already, but we haven't even gotten to that yet. So this will be the last Building Upon where we're not probably having any comments or corrections or anything like that. Once again, you can send those on to our email account at unbuiltpod, or you can email us at unbuiltpod@gmail.com. But for now, how are you doing, Ryan? How's today?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to talk about some. Well, I guess I suppose we're just really touching back on some new things, but I'm ready to talk about theme parks nonetheless.
All right. So right now we're recording this on July 23rd. A couple days ago, Disney Plus debuted Behind the Attraction, which is a docuseries by the producers Brian Volk-Weiss of The Toys That Made Us and The Movies That Made Us. So they just debuted that. So we're gonna talk about that today. And even though it's going to be about a month in advance until this comes out, so we do apologize that we're a little behind on this, but we hope you enjoy the commentary nonetheless, because we have some things to say about it, don't we?
That's what we have made our bread and butter on, is complaining about Disney Plus.
Complaining about Disney Plus? Yeah. I mean, at least this is a new thing that Disney Plus has given us.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. This is, if anything, this is just another or one of the few instances of Disney Plus releasing original content.
that's a rarity.
Yeah, exactly. so, for $4 a month, what did you expect?
So for the Behind the Attraction, we only got 5 episodes. We were supposed to get 10. What happened with that?
That's how you do streaming. Ryan, you take away half of the content, give it later, and you create the false idea of releasing constant updates.
All right. I guess we should be thankful we got 5 anyways instead of
the
weekly dirge. So the Jungle Cruise episode was the first one. That was pretty much a commercial for the upcoming film.
Of course.
Thankfully, you're going on vacation on what, August 1st?
Yes. Right, so, yeah.
I don't think we're going to do an episode reviewing the Jungle Cruise movie of one of these Building Upons. I mean, we could, if you really want to hear that, if you really want us to review it, by all means, go ahead. I'm going to see it. Are you going to see it?
I thought that some of the trailers looked somewhat bearable. So, yeah, I probably will end up seeing it. It looks like a worse version of Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think that's exactly what they want it to be. Yeah. it's pirates, but it's not pirates. It's something. No. But it's not.
It has none of the Gore Verbinski, but all of the Dwayne the Rock Johnson. It's the most milquetoast piece of media to come out from the company since The Lion King.
Are you Chris Pratt more or Chris Pratt less on Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
That's such a scathing insult without even giving an answer already. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh my. I'd say that he's what era of Chris Pratt?
Any era. I guess modern era.
Oh, then he's Chris Pratt more. He's better than Chris Pratt.
Is Chris Pratt better? Better than Chris Pratt. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say he definitely. I think modern Chris Pratt is literally unbearable. but Dwayne The Rock Johnson is momentarily unbearable. Because he's not an actor. He plays Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He's just charming. That's his entire acting skill.
Yeah, he's not a character actor.
He's not.
In like the literal polar opposite way. He doesn't have the ability to play a character, and that's why he can't be in dramatic roles.
Right.
Because he can't play anybody besides Dwayne Johnson as a character. You know, so I love how we're now talking about, I mean, I guess this is technically relevant.
Yeah, right? Well, it is, because the series was produced by him, but we very quickly get the sense that it got his producing credit only because the entire thing seemed to be an impetus for, like, advertising his movie. I think this was produced in 2019. It was supposed to come out a year ago.
Interesting. It seems like, yeah, he was trying to get like some kind of a PGA credit or something. I don't know. It doesn't seem like
he's only in the first episode.
So open disclosure, right? So let's talk about this beforehand. Mm. You've seen all five, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I have seen two, and we'll get to why in probably a few seconds.
Sure.
But I have only seen the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror episode. And I have seen the Space Mountain episode.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the Space Mountain because that's what I'm was most interested in. And then Twilight Zone because before the show today, in like a plea of mercy, I told you that I couldn't sit through the rest. and you were like, I'll watch the Twilight Zone one.
Yeah, I asked you to watch that one. There's a reason for that. And we'll get into that. First, I want to ask, have you seen the other Brian Volkweis docuseries?
No, I have not. So I think that's stylistically, this is very similar to the movies and the shows or toys that made us. Excuse me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is I just learned earlier today that Netflix just released a new season of the Movies That Made Us. Just on this weekend alone, I'm like, gee.
Yeah, I saw it's got like some Back to the Future, right? Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if there's a reason for that. If you like this. They are very similar, and there's an interesting conversation to be had because some people are criticizing it for different reasons.
Hmm.
There's people who do not like the style, and there's also people who aren't really a fan of some of the, not only the myth making, but where, how is exactly this was written. So on Netflix, they do two shows, and the Toys That Made Us and the Movies That Made Us. The Toys That Made Us was going to be this limited 8-part docuseries about 8 different toy companies or toy franchises. And they were so immensely popular that they greenlit a third, and they also greenlit the Movies That Made Us. And Disney was like, well, this is really popular. They had the Imagineering story coming out. The Imagineering story, we both watched, and we both liked it. I think we both liked it.
I really liked it.
Yeah. Needless to say, the Imagineering story was so much more of a serious take on the material. And I think Disney wanted something that was a little bit more casual, something that was more Disney theme park weddings kind of junk.
And, seemingly, yeah.
Right. So this is supposed to be much more of a casual affair.
Yeah,
you know, a beginner's guide to Imagineering, I would have to say.
Yeah, that's what Disney Plus specializes in, is like entry level junk that nobody watches.
Stop! Like, call Loki entry level junk.
Okay, don't be coy here. Loki and the MCU, perhaps the Mandalorian. Okay, gotcha. And then you get into Disney Parks Cook Off.
Yes.
The Bill Farmer dog show. Like, I bet you Bill Farmer enjoyed making it. What was that one show with the girl from Drake and Josh? The one who, what was her name? Uh-oh.
What was I actually have no idea what you're talking about. You remember there's that show with Kristen Bell. It was about like
no.
or something like
Yvette that. Nicole Brown.
Oh,
she was in the show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Remember what was the one show, the game show that was like really weird?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Nobody remembers it. But there's a lot of fluff. It's not, if that's what you're saying. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of not only fluff, but like lowest common denominator. Yeah,
well, every streaming service. They're trying to compete with Netflix, let's be honest.
True. I mean, and
the thing is that with the Netflix stuff, they're not doing docuseries on Netflix. They're not doing docuseries on Stranger Things, for example.
Mm.
They're doing docuseries on shows and movies that are not affiliated with their parent company. Here, they are. And I think that's the biggest problem that Behind the Attraction has. Because it feels like they got a memo from corporate that says, here's what you have to hit, and here's what you have to edit around. And in a lot of this show, there is moments where you can see the Imagineers running around a topic. And they're editing around this topic. You saw the Space Mountain one. You saw that Disneyland Paris bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so obvious at one point that one of the Imagineers was talking about how Disneyland Paris was a failure and how Space Mountain helped relaunch the park and give it all the attendance that it needed. But they edited around that part.
Well,
now the question is it not because it's not part of the story, but it is very awkward when you're more in the know about it.
Yeah. Well, so one thing to mention, of course, likely if you're listening to this, you may have seen it as a Disney fan, but if you haven't, these are simple, like 40-minute bite size, the story of XYZ, the name of the episode is what the story is of.
Right.
And then they'll go into it. So the way that they do it, and why I want to bring this up is because this is where the criticism will begin, right? Is that they kind of wrestle control between maybe a decent chunk of it is a narrator who it's
Padgett
will,
Brewster,
who is that?
Padgett Brewster. She really okay. So she is a actress. She was on a lot of things, like Community, Andy Richter Controls the Universe. She was recently Della Duck in the new DuckTales reboot.
Yeah, yeah, I guess I have no complaints with her voice.
it's Use Your Poison. They also have another a male actor for the Toys That Made Us and the Movies That Made Us. And probably the reason why they didn't want to do that is might be like a Netflix thing. Hey, that's our guy, you know?
Right. Yeah, they don't want to come off like they're making a new season of a different show.
Right. If some casual people might, she was Kathy on Friends, and she's currently the voice of Bird Girl in the new Bird Girl show
on Adult Swim. Bird spinoff.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so the it's kind of wrestling control. A bit decent chunk of it'll be like a written scripted narration. And then they'll supplement that narration with Imagineers or engineers or designers commenting on the attraction that they helped design or that they are now a spokesperson of by being a head of the Disney company. Mm-hmm. And why I wanted to mention that is because though that what I just explained is traditional, the one thing that I took major issue with in watching it and I find super annoying is that the narrator is not evenly balanced with the Imagineers. The narrator is speaking like nearly 80% of the time.
That is correct, yes. And that's much of the style is that the interviews are intertwined with the narration and story to kind of create a more comedic, looser vibe.
Yeah, but it's like, so not only are they intertwined, it's like even worse than that. It's almost if I were, obviously I'm not them, perhaps these Imagineers love the final product, and I feel like it's a little insulting, honestly. I think that you have people who have their interviews taken incredibly clearly out of context. You have narratives being built around, because these people are, for all intents and purposes, are artists, right? They're artists like any other form of artistry. And yet they're having their words bent around through interviews, having their their honest opinions about the works that they've done, sound bites. Like, for example, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror one has, like, the lead designer, I can't remember his name, and I just watched it, but I wasn't paying very close attention. They kept dropping him saying, "That's me." Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And they did it, like, 15 times, and it was like, dear Lord. So you have this experienced thematic designer, and they're providing some kind of an interview, right? That's if the crux of the show is to show things that are going on behind the attraction.
I don't think it's about the interviews, and that's kind of what you have to talk about with the style here. It's supposed to be, again, servicing this story and doing it in a very comedic way, and that's why they do all the cuts with the, you know, the Imagineers kind of going and clipping their sound bites, as well as catching them between comments. You know, you kind of get their, you know, goofy body language. And that's always been the way that this kind of style is. And it's not for everyone. And it's definitely not a serious docuseries. The problems that I have with it are the actual narrative itself.
Well, let me respond to that really quickly. So, perhaps you're correct. Perhaps it is there. I'm misunderstanding, and it isn't quite supposed to be this informative documentary series.
It's supposed to be lightly informative.
Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be pop informative, but more of a funny tone.
That's 100% what you're getting. It's definitely a pop docuseries.
Well, wonderful, because I can. My second point is that I don't think it's that funny.
That's where the rest of the subjectivity comes ahead. Yeah.
Right. If you think it's funny, perhaps you do. My problem is it, and why I don't feel so similarly if this was done for film or for movie, a film like Back to the Future, right, has hours of Robert Zemeckis talking about the movie amongst the rest of the cast. Mm-hmm. Special features are not foreign, and they're well categorized. Theme parks, however, a lot of the material is gated behind the Walt Disney Company, right? And a lot of it comes from interviews after people have either left the company or by hearsay. So when you release something about a theme park, even if it's supposed to be pop theme park stuff, when it's being done, right, and you have these talented people, it's not that I feel like this thing sucks because it's not super informative and it's not the Imagineering story. On the contrary, I think that they had these people in the room, and instead of using them and creating some meaningful content, they dunked on them as they would any other interviewee. But the difference is when you spend your life making toys, that's kind of like it's different. That's like a fully marketed kind of thing. I think theme parks are a little different. So I can completely understand why certain audiences were like, hey, I don't really like this, because why are these this information that we rarely hear about, why is it getting mucked up in comedy? That being said, and this is where I'll let you continue, the information is like not right. always correct.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's supposed to be more entertainment and lightly informative rather than like technically correct. I mean, there's these weird moments where in the Haunted Mansion episode, that they do a moment where any nuanced, in-the-know theme park fan would know about how the Haunted Mansion works in Disneyland. You go, the elevator sinks down, you go in a tunnel, and you go into a show building. The way that they have Padgett Brewster describe it is so weirdly condescending that I'm definitely guessing that children are probably the main demo, because she goes, you go downstairs into a tunnel into a mega mansion, which is so weird. It's just, it doesn't take itself seriously, almost to a point where they don't care about getting technical about these things. And again, a huge problem that I have, we both watched the Tower of Terror episode,
right?
And calling it the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror documentary is so loose, because let's be honest, that was half Tower of Terror, half Guardians
Mission Breakout. At the end, all Marvel. Just notice how at the end, the because every the episodes kind of end with like, what are we doing next, right?
Right.
But they never quite end with a related what are they doing next. Mm-hmm. Space Mountain had the same problem where the what are we doing next was Tron, and it was like, okay, Tomorrowland roller coaster, I guess, is like Space Mountain.
Yes.
But the what are we doing next for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror one was Avengers Campus and yes. Hong Kong.
Yes, it was.
And it was like, what are you talking about?
It's so weird because they rushed through. So they spent a considerable amount of time on the original. And they did this in Haunted Mansion too. Mm. They spend so much time on the original. And then they go through to the progression to the what are we advertising, pretty much? What is being advertised here? And when they do that, they spend like 2 seconds on each. So they'll choose like one random thing with like Mystic Manor. They go on Mystic Manor and they have an Imagineer go, we really had to figure out how to do that magic dust in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a challenge. And then they move on to the next thing. They don't even answer it. They're like, yeah, we tried and we figured it out. Cool. Moving on to the next thing. What was the point of that? It was just to tell them that that exists. That exists. With
yeah,
it was so weird. Like when they went to the when they went on the Tower of Terror one, they were talking about the Paris version, and they go and then they weirdly combine facts. Where they're like, well, it's a concrete building, not a steel building. And they even have Patrick Brewster go, okay, all right. Mm. And then they talk about this redo that they did a few years ago, but they act like that was originally in there.
Yeah,
with the little girl. And I'm like, wait, that was later, though. You're combining facts here.
Well, okay, actually, you know what? I just watched it and I didn't know that, so that's pretty scummy. I actually didn't know that it was a late edition.
I'm guessing that they think, well, if you go there now, you'll see it, so it doesn't matter if you think it was always there.
Well, see, because I had a problem with the Imagineering story, because I felt like it was a really good, it did a really, 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 really good job doing the beginning of the Imagineering.
Yeah, and everybody right? says this. And once it gets sent, and it's an advertisement. Yeah, I totally know.
But yeah, we're not even pretty into cool the 90s. Things.
I thought that, yeah. Now, the Star Tours episode is pretty good. The Star Tours episode is actually pretty good. They actually have a lot of concept art and mm-hmm. interesting things shown on there. It feels like with Brian Volkweis, he did like an episode of The Toys That Made Us were about Star Wars toys. You could definitely mm-hmm. feel this was very in his wheelhouse. And that was actually pretty good. They spend less time on Galaxy's Edge than you'd think.
Here, one of my main problems with the discourse surrounding this is that a lot of people are responding and saying it isn't for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a twofold response to that. Number one, that doesn't matter. Just because it's not for me doesn't mean I didn't like it, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I watched it and I had a horrible, horrible experience, I didn't. I just had a rather negative one. that doesn't mean that I didn't have a negative experience because it's not made for me. It just means that I affirm the fact that it's not made for me. But second, I don't know quite who this is made for.
It's made for the people who enjoyed The Toys That Made Us. But
The Toys That Made Us is completely different, because The Toys That Made Us is something that people actually bought. Like in the 80s, my dad loves The Toys That Made Us, but he had those toys. As a Disney fan, he's like, what? If you're not a Disney fan, you do not care about Mystic
Manor. I would disagree. I think they're hitting on casual Disneyland things. They're doing the Jungle Cruise. People are vaguely, they're aware of the Jungle Cruise. But that's the thing. This is made for a casual viewer. Now, I'm not saying that you're not wrong and that you could still have an opinion over it. I do think that it was very weird that some were caught off guard. Because we only knew what this was going to be. And well, people are like, what? What is this? This was made by these people. This was all over the press release. You should have known this is what you were going to get. And a lot of, and there's a lot of people who are, what are expecting, for some reason, like a really serious theme park documentary. That surprises me.
There's a reason why, though. The reason why that they expected it isn't because the signs were there. It's because Disney has routinely failed to give any theme park content on their Disney Plus service.
I know. The people were hoping because this is a rarity. Yes. I totally get that. I'm just surprised by how many people did not do their research.
No, I think the right answer should have been, like, my opinion was I was hoping that I was going to get more than I thought I was going to get, and then I got what I thought I was going to get, and I was like, okay, I'm going to move on and watch something else. The problem is that if you run down every audience, I could find something better on Disney Plus for them to watch. If like if you're a big Parks fan, then you have the Imagineering story. If you are a big just documentary fan in general, Howard is good, and so is Waking Sleeping Beauty or something like that. Like if you want just a good, real good documentary, and you're just casually into Disney. But if you're a casual Disney Parks fan, I don't know. In my mind, if you offered a casual Disney Parks fan the behind-the-scenes story of Tokyo Disney Sea's Tower of Terror versus the behind-the-scenes story of making food at Epcot's China Pavilion, I think they'd watch that one.
Yeah, because it's more of a niche subject. Notice how Epcot came up, like, once?
Yes.
That was it. This is, again, Epcot's not for the casual. I get that. My problem is the fact that it's so brand, you know, synergistic. Yeah, I guess I expected that, but man, they really drove around facts a lot.
Yeah, because I know, which is why, and this is a good thing to tie in here at this point, and the thing is, which is why I think one thing that they really missed out was the unbuilt stuff. Shameless plug, of course. Right?
The Tower of Terror. There is some talk about unbuilt stuff a little here and there.
A little bit.
The Tower of Terror, they completely skip past Geyser Mountain and what's interesting, they skip past Geyser Mountain, they skip past Hotel Mel.
Mm.
They do talk about the unbuilt version with the hotel. That was surprising. Right. There is a point where one of the Imagineers, this is what I'm talking about, they're editing around them. They're kind of slyly editing their comments. He actually talks about the Intamin first generation Freefall.
Yes.
And he actually talks about it. Interesting thing about that is that was Geyser Mountain. That was the original version of Tower of Terror. What he's talking about was this was the original idea. And we had to get away from that because of our elevator idea. They pitch it in as, well, we're not going to do that. So we just didn't do that. Which is, again, a bending of the truth. Not only they're bending the truth, but they're also editing around these Imagineers' comments to make it sound a little different.
The thing is that they're telling less interesting stories. For the sake of matching their own narrative. Because I think the stories, even to most people, would be more interesting, at least in my mind. I think if you deliver an intellectually stimulating story, most people will be interested.
Yeah, and I get with the Tower Terror one, too. Oh my God, is the Tower to Guardians? Well, both me and you have kind of stubbornly admitted eventual defeat on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. That is, it is fun. It is
No. Wait a minute. Hold on. You are roping me into comments I never said.
You liked it.
Stop. I did not. I stand by that it is fun in the way that like a boardwalk log flume is fun. The green screening is rather horrendously awful. It looks so bad, and I saw it in the Imagineering
store. Sure, you did. Sure, you like it. You like it.
I'll go on again.
But we all know, and I know they're not going to say this. We all know that there was a mandate by Bob Chapek, but the way that they say it, it's just like what. the way that they paint it, and they talk about how this is like this weird chocolate and peanut butter moment that, oh, well, we had to get it right. We just did by Memorial Day. We don't have a lot of time. Well, why? We're just going to skip over that part. And they're talking about, well, Guardians comes out in May of 2017. Incidental. Like, gee, I wonder if that was a mandate in the first place. And then Joe Rohde talks about how it's this weird moment where he figured it out. It's like, no, that was, again, a mandate by effing Bob Chapek. And they actually run around the fact, and this was the thing, the Imagineering story was actually ballsy enough to address the fact that the Guardians redo was, the reception was tepid at first, and well, people were skeptical, and this one kind of doesn't do that. They just go, they have Imagineers actually talk about it after the fact. I think a lot of people...
Yeah.
Some people doubted it, but you didn't really address it, but you're not doing it in context. You know what the Imagineers are talking about.
In fact, they did have Joe Rohde. They could not edit out Joe Rohde not being interested from the start. They could not edit out his like active displeasure of being forced to work on this project.
Which was funny because Joe Rohde is 100% hamming it up. We all know, we've seen even talk about Joe's commercials that he shot for the Tower of Terror in Tokyo.
I didn't know that, actually. I thought that was really cool.
Remember how he was the Dreamfinder in Dreamfinder School of Drama?
Yeah, he's
a ham. He's a total.
Yeah,
ham.
In fact, even in this, he was able to play it up and really fit their energy. Mm-hmm. The problem is that when you, okay, this is my. I know that we're going a little long.
Yeah,
my last comment.
Right.
I could talk about my real life. Mm. In my real life, I go to school at like a science university, right? And I'm doing this documentary project with researchers, for this machine, this science machine. I won't go into detail because it's really boring. But the long story short is that I'm working with people who are, experimental engineers first. You know, people second, and then last on the list, actors. Okay, so initially you go in when you're coming up with like a documentary project, you're like, all right, what's the story I want to tell? What is the idea I want to get through here to the audience? And I made the mistake at the very beginning of saying that I'm gonna write my own story, and then I'm gonna get them to conform to it because it's more interesting than anything they could come up with, and then they're gonna do it, right? And getting into it, especially working with these science-oriented people who are in the industry, who aren't like these closer to like the audience or the hyper fans or whatever, you begin to realize that as you push and push and push, you're going to get more pushback. It's the Newton's law, right? So if you take these design engineers who aren't Joe Rohde in this show and you push them to match the energy of the show, they won't, because that's not who they are. They're back of the room designers. They're not public figures. And then you have to have the narrator. I'm now talking about behind the attraction, of course. You have to have the narrator make up for that and talk over them and splice through their language. You notice that they didn't really have to do that with Joe Rohde because he is a public figure. He's an actor. He does a really good job of doing that. So I do sympathize with what they were doing, is that they came in with the energy of that other show.
Right.
And you can't really make these Disney Imagineers. Go read Disney War. Go read Magic any Kirby, Imagineering book. Yeah, right. Even any Marty Sklar book, right? Mm-hmm. They are like scientists. They believe in the science of the engineering. And that's why it's so difficult. So I'd certainly get why it kind of comes off weird. I just wish that they had more faith in allowing the creators to actually share information about their creations instead of trying to tell a story around their experiences. It doesn't, like, that's not a documentary. It's like a Travel Channel thing.
Well, yeah, again, that's probably what they're going for.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine it works better in the other stuff where you're watching it for pure like nostalgia sake. Like you've seen Jaws, so maybe you get a couple more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they do one on Jaws, but you've seen Jaws, so maybe you get a couple tidbits. Yeah, for a lot of these other rides, these are new, completely new.
For example, my favorite movie is Back to the Future. They just did a movie that made us on Back to the Future. I know everything about that movie. I've read books. I've read. I've heard podcasts. I've absorbed and consumed it all. Am I still going to watch it? Yes. Am I going to learn a single thing? Probably not. But I hope I enjoy it. I hope I get some sort of visceral thrill out of it.
I guess that's the difference between theme parks, right? Is movies, you've seen it already. You're just coming back for like another taste. For theme parks, you're really learning. But that's enough out of that for me. I'm done. Right. I've talked too much.
You talk too much about behind the attraction, behind the attraction. This is the mean after show here.
If you want a better behind the attraction, listen to the Unbuilt podcast. That's what we'll talk about.
Yeah. Yes, behind the SS Disney. No, never made. Right. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's behind the idea. Close enough. Yes. You know? There's more honesty in ours.
Mm-hmm. And because we're going to say it shouldn't have happened, they've said, this brilliant idea that should have been made. You know, and a lot of sound effects in the middle. In the meantime, remember to follow us on social media on Twitter and soon to come Facebook. Feel free to email us at unbuiltpod@gmail.com and rate us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Anchor. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to Coaster Radio. I'm Mike Collins. We will see you here on Unbuilt next time.
See you guys.